What is up, everybody? And welcome back to an episode of Our Naked Story podcast. Hope you're all doing okie dokie out there on this fine, fabulous, amazing Friday. Unless it's another day that you're listening to this, that's not Friday, then happy whatever day that you are listening to this for. Today's episode is brought to you by Alpen Organics, by far my favorite CBD company, because it's the only CBD company that makes me feel something, makes me feel alive. I can feel it in my body, my mind, and my soul. Alpen Organics is vegan. It uses U.S. hemp only. It is third-party lab tested. There is no THC. There is no GMO. And it's a U.S. veteran company. My favorite Alpen Organic product is the 2,000 milligram tincture. I just put a little bit underneath my tongue. It makes me feel nice and mellow and ready for whichever or whatever obstacle I have facing my way. Alpen Organics has tinctures, gummies, and topicals. If you head on over to alpenorganics.com and use Our Naked Story at checkout, you're going to receive 40% off today on Friday, and you'll receive 30% off any other boring non-Friday day. So if you're looking to better yourself, better your mind, your body, or your soul, or all three at the same time, head on over to alpenorganics.com, use offer code Our Naked Story at checkout, and receive 40% off on Fridays. Today's episode is also brought to you by Summer Moon Candles. I've said it time and time and time again, I am now a candle guy. Summer Moon Woodwick Candles is a mama-owned and operated candle company born from a desire to create high-quality, all-natural candles that are beautiful, unique, and good for the soul. Create a positive and ideal space for spiritual rest and setting intentions with our crystal-infused candles. Our hand-poured soy candles are made with 100% natural crackling wood wicks, adorned with real crystals and dried flowers. Fill your home with abundant aromas and good energy. Every candle is hand-poured in small batches, ensuring the attention to detail and giving you the best quality possible. So you guys, head on over to Etsy.com/shop/summermooncandles, and you're going to receive 10% off when you use the discount code OurNakedStory with all capitalization, no spaces. Again, you guys, that is Etsy.com/shop/summermooncandles, and you're going to receive 10% off when you use offer code OurNakedStory, all caps, no spaces. I want to first start this episode off by saying thank you so much to all of our supporters, all of our followers, all of our listeners. You guys are, like, your guys' shares and your guys' what you guys contribute means more to me than a lot of, but like, you guys are what is pushing nudism out there to be heard and to be more socially acceptable. So keep doing what you guys are doing. I also want to say thank you so much for anybody that donated to the Naked Cause. Because of you guys, we were able to afford a new microphone and also two new microphone stands for our desk. It's going to make recording a lot easier, and we can now produce better sounding podcasts for you guys. So it's only going to get better from here. Today's episode is a great episode. We speak to Matthew McDermott. He is the author of How to Take Your Clothes Off, which I'll put the link down below, or I'll put the link on our story and all of our Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that. Matthew is from Toronto, Canada, and he is an absolutely amazing soul. I had the pleasure to speak with him for about an hour today. And I'm really excited to share what we had to say. So I hope you guys enjoy the show. So please help me welcome Matthew McDermott.
I don't know, something that isn't speakers. So
probably thinks that your microphone's a speaker as well.
Yeah, it's in like a USB mixing board, and I don't know. It's all kind of,
Yeah, that's okay. That's why I am 20 minutes late, by the way. Sorry about that.
No worries.
I got some new toys from some of our fans, so I was trying to test them out. So we got another microphone, and I got this cool like desk mount thing. So now I don't have to worry about like bumping it. But I guess you can't put two USB mics on Skype.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that's why I was like, oh, maybe I'll try it on Zoom, but you can't do it on Zoom either. So I don't know. I should have, like, the other day, probably should have fucked around with it instead of 10 minutes before I was doing the podcast. But you know what? I don't know. Shit happens. Sorry. So.
All good.
Well, cool. Well, I've been talking to you for quite a while now. Yeah. And I've never actually had a conversation with you. So you want to go ahead and just kind of introduce yourself?
For sure. For sure. My name's Matthew McDermott. I'm an author, IT consultant, guy from near Toronto, Canada. Been an atris for 15-ish years, and pretty active on Twitter, I guess, in the old naturist world there. So
yeah,
I think that's how we ran into each other.
It is, yeah. No, first of all, you write beautiful articles. I love words, with all my heart. I love to write. I love everything that has to do with journalism and all that jazz. And I do follow a lot of your articles that you've written. I do know a lot of stuff that you even just post on Twitter. It's very informative. And it also, it's very sincere and, it's not just you, or it's not just a person just trying to get followers or likes or anything like that. You can tell that you write with a passion, and it's absolutely amazing. So what kind of got you started? I guess not really started in journalism or, writing, but let's start off with what got you started with nudism?
Well, I was, from childhood, I was one of those people who had a real yen towards it, but I grew up in a pretty Catholic family. Nudity wasn't something that was acceptable at home, and it was shamed a lot, and so I kind of suppressed it for many, many years. And it was in my early 30s I kind of came across nudist groups on the internet for the first time. I got high-speed internet. This is back in 2000, 2001. Bought our first house, got high-speed internet for the first time because it wasn't all that available back then. Mm-hmm. And certainly not in the regions we've been living in. And then, I actually stumbled across it. And I'm like, so that actually is a thing. I kind of knew about it. I kind of knew it was a thing, but I'd never had any conversations with anybody. And the only people I knew who'd ever talked about it were my parents, who kind of, mocked it and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So not very accepting, which is fine. It's not for them. That's okay. But it didn't really build a healthy mindset towards it myself. Yeah. So once I learned that it existed, I started looking into it. And it turned out I live in a pretty good area for naturism. There's two resorts. There's two beaches within striking distance. There's a swim group. There's a number of little sort of local home groups, get together, watch movies and stuff. And so I slowly sort of keyed into that. And as I moved, again a little closer to Toronto, and that really put me in touch with the community around here. So I've been fairly active with the, I head to the resorts whenever I can, Bear Oaks being one of them. I think you talked to Stefan.
I did, yeah.
One time. And the swim group was actually, I was quite active with them for a good long time. They do bowling nights, swim nights, that kind of thing. So that's how I got into it. And it was it's always been there. But once I kind of found out about it and kind of got my head around it that yes, this is something I want, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. And now has this kind of just consumed your life? Are you one of those people like me where if I'm going to go on a vacation, it's not just anywhere. There has to be some kind of nude thing involved if we're going on vacation or something?
Not necessarily, because my spouse is not interested in it, and she doesn't have the same interest, so we don't tend to organize vacations around it. It tends to be more my leisure time, and it hasn't consumed my life. I guess I'm a pretty busy guy. I'm involved in various not-for-profits, arts organizations and stuff like that. I have about 5 little, side jobs in addition to my main job, my writing, that kind of thing. So it's not the only thing, but it is one of those things that does, I think, it's how I identify as well. So I do, it does take up a fair amount of my, waking mindset, I guess.
Yeah. Now being a nudist, and I don't know if I can speak for everybody who can, well, let's start with this. I don't want to fall into that category. Do you distinguish between both the naturist and nudist thing, or is it you kind of just put them in the same category?
Yeah. One of the things I look for when I write is you have to vary your words a lot, and that's how you get a really fresh. And so I use them interchangeably. I've kind of come to that conclusion that, there's no reason to split hairs. I know there are some people who will define nude, naked, clothes free, nudist, naturist, nudie. You know, they have there's a real smorgasbord of words, and I'm not into that myself, to be honest. I'm pretty terminology. That's not what matters, right? I think it's there's something deeper to worry about. But I use naturist because I think of my relationship with naturism as closer to what Stéphane Duchesne talks about in terms of, you know, it's more than just taking your clothes off. It's a philosophy that stays with you whether you're clothed or not. And I think that's the right way to look at it. And that's how I try to live it.
Yeah. No, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I just like anything in this world, I especially now that I'm, you know, going back to school and I'm trying to take more of that, where you kind of just take a step back before you either say something or before you even accept anybody's opinions or words, or whatever it is. So I try to understand that as much as I could. So that's why I asked, is because I know some people are like, no, I'm just a naturist. I'm just that.
Yeah.
But then I'm also, as much as I am into like the nudist culture, I'm into, I love it so much. You know, I like you said, I don't feel like this should, that like a word should be any type of conflict, you know, with nudism. Nudism itself or naturism itself is so pure and so amazing by itself. And then I don't know, I don't want like nudism to be contaminated by these like, well, no, it's actually this, and it's actually, boy, I'm like, why are we fighting about this?
Totally,
like, this should
agree.
Be the last thing we should be fighting about right now.
Well, I ascribe very heavily to the idea of radical acceptance being an important part of naturism and nudism. And if that is the case, then we shouldn't be deciding, drawing lines between us and deciding, well, I, sir, am a naturist. You, sir, are nude. That kind of thing doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
And, I think we, especially within the naturist community, we're so small, relatively speaking, we should be looking to build bridges, not boundaries, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I, now I understand like the as far as like definition wise, why, well, definitions are everything. That's what defines, you know, humanity, you know?
Yeah.
And so obviously like there's a distinction that needs to be made when you are taken to different categories that some people might claim to be the same, where you have like your swinger group and a nudist or something like that, you know? So I think that's where that, I guess in a way, battle should go. Not necessarily that we're trying to fight off anything like that, but we don't want to give people these false narratives of what one word means, you know? Like I
exactly.
said, words are very powerful.
It's true. But I think what's more important is principles, not how we define them, but how, what we actually believe and what we care about, right? And that means that things like body acceptance is not a nudist thing. It's not our special purview, but I don't think I don't think you're really being true to the tenets or the idea of nudism if you don't believe that all bodies are valuable and acceptable the way they are, right? So this is I think where the interest is for me and where I care about, and that's what drives a lot of my writing. And you may have seen that I do have I have had stuff to say about, like, if you think you're a nudist, you're a nudist. Like there's no test, you know. It's a preference for being without clothes, and that's that leads to a lot of other things, but that's all it is. And like I say, I think thinking about what that does lead to and the other kind of parts of your life that might be affected by the way of thinking is that's important to not only to think about but to argue about with other naturists, right? And that's cool. I think that those arguments are there to be had, and you know, we get into them in Twitter and various places, Reddit. But that's the healthy part of it. That it's not healthy to sit there and decide where the who's a real nudist and that kind of thing. That's pointless, and I think it hurts all of us, even those who think they're on the side of the right there.
Yeah, which everybody always just think that's on the side.
Right. Yeah, I'm the right one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you made a beautiful point. You know, I don't know why people are so afraid. It's a lot of people my age too, which I don't understand. Like not wanting to be labeled as anything, but then putting themselves in these subcategories that does label them. But so now they're like this label that's not a label because it isn't a label. It's like, it starts getting confusing. You're just like, dude, it just is it's just a definition is what it is. You know,
it's true. I've seen that a lot. Actually, I've come across quite a few people who are saying, why do we need a label? Why do we need an organization? Why do we need it? And there is, I think there's a tendency as one does hang around for a long time in any community, you start to see the same fights over and over again. And that's when you start saying, okay, this is, we're going to put this in this box, we're going to put it in this box. And that's how labels and stuff start coming along. And that's how when you start to say, well, you know, it actually would make a lot more sense if I joined this organization. And so there's a, I think there's a lot of that. And
yeah,
it's fine. I mean, I'm not saying anybody should look at things the any particular way. I'm just at a point where I'm fine with throwing my lot in with naturism, nudism. What I agree is great. What I disagree with, I will work to change. And that's cool. You know,
yeah.
I love to know how to crack that nut though of, you know, the younger, you know, younger naturist saying I'm, or, you know, I deciding on, oh, well, I have this particular term for what I am, which is cool. I just like, let's at least agree we're all on the same side here.
Exactly. You know, that's yeah. Cool. Yeah, you like to take your pants off? I like to take my pants off.
Yeah.
You like to party? Let's party. You know? Yeah. Exactly. It's really as simple as it has to be. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, man. It's definitely interesting out there. And we'll keep it brief with just, I'm just talking about just the nudist community out there. And I don't, so you said you're right outside of Toronto, so you're still in Canada or?
Yeah, yeah, just on the outside of Toronto.
Yeah. So how is the nudist culture over there? I mean, just from what you've said already, you already have more stuff than we do in Southern California, which still every time I bring it up fucking blows my mind. I don't understand how Southern California, one of the sunniest places in the United States, has no nude beaches, actually no legal nude beaches.
Yeah.
And like three or four resorts. It doesn't make sense. So sorry, I kind of took that.
It's crazy. And you know, I was, my wife and I took a trip like a couple of weeks. We just kind of tooled down the coast in California and had a blast. And it is something that like almost everywhere else in the States, especially in the sunny parts of the States, where we've traveled, you know, I at least realized, oh, there's, you know, it's crazy. And I haven't been to Florida since I was about 6 years old. So I know, I understand like the culture, the nudist culture is pretty strong there, but I don't know what's wrong with California. And like, you know, step it up, guys, because, you know, if I'm going to retire somewhere, I mean, that's the
California's
obvious
place to go. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. And a lot of these people there, I don't know, which, especially with everything going on, like I hear so many people be like, oh, I'm out of California. The first chance I get, but the fucking freeways are still backed up. Like nobody's leaving. Like they want to, I always tell people, I'm like, California, everybody hates it, but nobody's ever going to leave. You know, like it's, I don't know. It's perfect for everything that I want to do with my life. It's sunny just about all the time right now. It's fucking, that's why I'm wearing clothes. Cause, it is cold and I don't do cold, but you know, if I want to go snowboarding, it's an hour away. If I want to go surfing, it's an hour away. If I want to go dirt bike riding, it's an hour. Everything that, you know, is around my life is perfect. Yeah. So when you do retire, come on over or something.
Yeah, for sure. No, I do love California, and just going past all the signs that were, was it avocados, artichokes, and grapefruits, 10 cents or 10 for a dollar kind of thing.
Yeah.
You have no idea how spoiled you guys are down there, and the seafood, everything. It's crazy. And I don't know, the vibe in California, I just love. It is great in a lot of ways, and I don't know why a naturist culture hasn't flourished there. You would think, right?
But
it's true, and we are spoiled in Toronto, all things considered. You know, we do get we get a couple of months of sunny weather. I mean, you know, not right now. It's almost back down to freezing right now, the number of resorts, and there's two have gone by the wayside in my area in the last, you know, 10 years or so, a little more than that, 15 years. But we still have two major resorts in the area within an hour's drive of where I am. And around 2003, I think they got the official designation of a clothing optional beach in Toronto. And Toronto has like a couple of little islands off the, in Lake Ontario, just sort of off the lakeshore, and it's one of the islands, has a fairly nice beach, and they got half the beach designated clothing optional, so which is kind of amazing, you know, because Toronto's not a super, I mean, okay, compared to the U.S. everything's liberal, but
yeah,
it's not, for Canada, it's not a crazy liberal city or anything, but it is pretty cosmopolitan. We got people from, you know, 200 countries. There's thousands of languages literally spoken in Toronto, so
really.
Yeah. It's people from everywhere. And there's, I think it's kind of like, well, if you're going to put it somewhere, first would be Vancouver, second would be Toronto, I guess. So, but yeah, we are pretty spoiled, and we don't have the problems we've seen in other places where, you know, we get people protesting nude swims and this kind of thing. It's pretty live and let live, I guess. And, but the nudism isn't something that a lot of people participate in that I know of. And, when you talk about it, people aren't like, oh yeah, I'd love to try that. They're like, huh. So, you know, which is whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not sort of natural to the culture as it would be in, you know, France and Germany and that kind of thing. But we do have a lot of resources where I am, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely same here too. As much as I'm complaining about the only four resorts here, luckily three of them are within driving distance. You know, like I could go for a day and hang out and then come home if I wanted to. There's another one up north a little bit more, and I haven't visited yet, Elizabeth 134, but I haven't been there. But I don't, it's kind of something that I want to bring up. You know, I don't know where that answer comes from, where I guess like when I do bring up to people, how about this? I don't know who the face is, who's shaming the nudist stuff, or because everybody I seem to talk to, they're not, like you said, not necessarily like, oh yeah, I would do that. Yeah. But like, oh, you know, that's cool. Like, you know,
yeah.
What is it? To each to own, or whatever the fuck that saying is. Yeah. But yeah. So I don't know who's out there making, you know, a stink about any of this. You know, it's the same thing that gets brought up with even like women's breasts. Like I don't like who is saying, everybody I talked, like, I know that a lot of, I don't know any man that seems like, yeah, no, like women have to cover their breasts, you know, or, and even the women that I speak to, they're, you know, they want to have that empowerment to, you kind of see where I'm going. So
yeah.
I don't know who is that face that, you know, is blocking all this stuff.
Well, it's the kind of thing that as a group, we're a lot stupider than we are as individuals, I think. And one-on-one, you know, you can tell somebody, oh, you know, yeah, I've you know, gone to this beach, and yeah, it is a naturist beach. And yeah, of course I took my clothes off, and no, it's really great. You can have that conversation, right? Mm-hmm. I've had a couple of times where I've been talking with friends, and I had one friend who said to me, she kind of confided in me that she no longer, you know, shaves her legs, and kind of as though I was going to be, you know, upset about this,
or, oh,
or be like,
you're not manipulating your body anymore.
I was like, okay, dude, I got one for you. You know, kind of, yeah. I didn't want to top her story, but you know, I kind of did. But there's sort of that one-on-one thing, but then there's there's that cultural thing. Now in Ontario, in my province, it was in 1998 or 99 that women got the right to be top free. The women's right was recognized to be top free wherever men could be top free in the province. Okay. And since then I've seen a total of, I think, one woman top free ever, you know, in that whole time in like a public park. And that was right after the ruling. I think right after the ruling, there were some people who sort of tried it, you know, you wanted to exercise that right that had just been recognized. And then it just doesn't happen, you know. And I think that there's no critical mass of people who are, doing it. And nobody wants to be the first one. Nobody wants to be the only one. We still, as a society, think nakedness is, you know, ridiculous and shameful and all this. And people just buy into it. It's a lot easier just to go with the flow. And that's where I do believe that, you know, as naturists, we have something of a responsibility. I don't want to put it on us too heavily, but we have a bit of a responsibility to be open about it and be, you know, we don't have to be evangelists, but just admit it, you know, and that probably will help, just because if you know a couple of people have said, oh yeah, I've gone to a nude beach, you might say, oh, well, maybe it's not so crazy. If you know one person, I could be the crazy friend, right? They can dismiss me. But if they know two or three people say the same thing, they'll be like, well, you know, I mean, everybody's skinny dipped up at the cottage or whatever. Like, it's just, there's just that societal critical mass has not yet been hit. Maybe we will in our lifetimes. Maybe we won't. Got to keep pushing.
No, for sure. And you're right. That happens. Like, if I'm by myself and I bring up somebody, it does get dismissed. But then if I have like all my nudist friends and we're out at like a regular bar or something like that, how do you guys know each other? Oh yeah, you know, we go to this nudist resort. And yeah, right. It's a little bit, it's more accepted, you know, what is that? I guess in a way that it falls under that same, like that mob mentality, that type of, you know, whatever situation. And then also like we have to try to be really careful too. Cause I still, as much as like, I want to just push it into everybody's face and I want to like, don't like, it's like shoving like a cute puppy to somebody who's like allergic to a dog, you know, like, no, like this is the cutest thing or whatever. Like, this is the best thing. I get that. Like, it's not the norm. It's definitely not as normal it is for me to anybody else. And then you also do fall into, you know, you have like religious beliefs and stuff like that. You have, stuff up into somebody, you know, when they were younger that that just turns them off to any type of, you know, nudity at all. So I'm definitely trying to work on myself with being more respectful to that. Which was, it was such a weird thing to, I don't know. It was like a weird thing to get over, you know, like I wasn't trying to like put anybody in an uncomfortable situation. I experienced so much happiness with nudism.
Right.
But I understand people have their different, you know, their different happinesses, you know, but yeah, I don't know, but I don't know about you, but I'm seeing a huge improvement lately. I don't know if it has to do with coronavirus. I don't know if it has to do with me just surrounding myself with people who, you know, more nudist advocates, people like you, you know, that's really all my feed is right now. It's just about, you know, body positivity and, just positive shit all the time. Like it's weird. It's so weird, you know?
Well, I think, the internet is now been around long enough that almost everybody in the world has been naked on it somewhere or something. Yeah. Maybe that's had something to do with it. And I know that's true, the lockdown over this year, has led a lot of people to say, well, why pants, you know? And, I understand the British naturist, organization, their regular rate of new members has quadrupled, I think, in the last few months. And I joined as well, but that wasn't, I was already, I'm kind of a serial organization joiner. So that's not a good metric, but I did happen to join this year as well as some other groups, but that people are kind of looking for something. And I think there's also like, it's true that body positivity has moved to a certain place. I'm seeing better, coverage of nudism in papers. The New York Times had a really good article this spring about a Florida nudist resort, like people got together for supper kind of thing, like they had a little supper club, and it was so positive. None of the usual stupid nudist jokes and the puns and all the rest, which just drive me crazy. And I was interviewed for a writer named Taylor Lorenz in The Atlantic about two or three years ago. She did an absolutely fantastic article on why Twitter is where nudists go. And it was because like, it's the one social medium that nobody is banned for putting nudity on it. And
it's the Wild West.
It's
the Wild West of social media.
And it's only getting worse on the other ones. And but she did a fantastic article. And again, it was real journalism. And this is something I do a lot on Twitter, is bitch about journalists who do crappy stories on nudism.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And it's I've got my little bingo card with all the stupid puns that they have that they all use and that kind of thing. And all these stereotypes like nudists are weird, nudists are crazy, nudists these don't know that they're not supposed to be naked in public. Which, because you know, you've gone out so many times, forgotten you had pants on, right? Yeah, it happens all the time, right? So it
never happened to me ever.
Well, that's, but anyway, it's sort of like all these stereotypes and all these stupid idiotic jokes. You know, we're starting to maybe move past that. Maybe journalists are starting to see that isn't that there's something more to this. And I think there's work by people like, well, British Naturism has been able to basically not only get nudity, you know, non-sexual public nudity legalized, but also got the police forces throughout the UK guidance sent to all of them saying, if somebody's naked in public, here's what they do, have the legal right to do that, and blah, blah, blah. And I think that's, you know, there's a possibility of that. People like Stefan Duchesne pushing very hard to make nudity or nudism like a valid thing in the public eye. There's movement afoot. Maybe we're seeing progress. Maybe in 20 years we'll say, oh my God, it's so much better.
Yeah. Or maybe we'll have resort in order to be naked around here, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, how cool would that be? How cool? And that's why I tell people, I'm like, my goal for what I'm doing here is I want to not have to do this anymore. I don't want to. Obviously, I love doing this. I just love talking, but yeah, I don't want to have to be like, oh, you know, you should do this. You should do, like, this is how much fun you can have. If everybody in the world can just have this much fun, you know, give me one second. I got to plug my computer and I'm sorry. No, give me one second. Sure. Sorry about that. This is why we got a producer, and yeah, he's not here right now. So this place, it looks like it's a mess. There's wires and cords, and I got stuff plugged in that doesn't need to be plugged in, and I don't know. I'll figure it out. But yeah, man, I don't know. I really hope that, you know, in the future, I don't know. And then also, like, if all things that I think about too, it's like you kind of said with the topless thing was, you know, only one, you've seen one person do it. So what if, when, if this does become, you know, normalized, then like, are we going to be losing that kind of, that like not even necessarily taboo, but like that, you know, like freedom of, you know, doing something different than the rest, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess I don't think we'll ever get to the point where nudity is totally normalized and totally like the option, right? It's not likely either of us is going to get on a bus naked at any point in our lives.
Yeah.
And it could be that like it'll just be an option, you know, any given beach, any given sunny place, any park, whatever. Like that's what the future that we're hoping to, the best case scenario we can build.
Exactly.
Here, right?
Yeah.
But there's a certain little, you know, little charge we get from knowing that this is sort of something we're not supposed to be doing, and a lot of people don't do. But wouldn't it be cool if we didn't have to worry about even that? And it would just be, wouldn't it be a lot more mellow if we were just like always able to be in the state we want to be in, right?
That's true. Yeah.
You know, I didn't have to worry about neighbors. I know you don't, but I do have neighbors, you know,
yeah.
And I have a pretty secluded lot, but I kind of see, are the blinds closed on the neighbor's house? Is it a time of day their kids are likely to be looking out the window kind of thing?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if that was sort of not an issue and they didn't care and I didn't care? I think that would be even better. I think I'd be a better world at all.
Yeah. No, you're right. And you're right. I think like the most magical part about it that I can, like, in my utopian world would be, yeah, you like drive down to the beach, you know, whatever, you have your swim trunks on, whatever. But then when you get there, like you're like walking around like the beach naked, and you're like, you know, even like Santa Monica Pier, that'd be cool. Just like walk the boardwalk naked. And, you know, just like, I don't know. I don't know the last time I went to a real beach, a clothed beach, but we went a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know. It was kind of, not miserable, but it was weird for sure. You know, I didn't, you know, we're playing spike ball and stuff, and I had sand all in my swim trunks, and I don't know, the whole time I was just like, oh my gosh, like I just want to go home so I can just take these off. But
well, you know, I took a beach vacation a couple of years ago. Every I don't know, 5 years or something, we would go down to somewhere in the Caribbean or whatever, and our pattern is I spend the morning reading on the beach and then the afternoon, whatever. But there's a little gang of other people that were sort of always sort of on the beach in the same area as us. And I was watching this one young woman who was like struggling to keep her bikini top in place as she was trying to, you know, get her back tan and then move around and that kind of, and it was like, it was so much work for her. And I get it. I'm not blaming her, but just kind of, like, wouldn't it be easier if you could just like not have to worry about that and not have to worry about guys noticing,
yeah,
right? Just it just being everybody being sort of chill with it. That would be the ideal. And it'd be so much better for everybody if that would be the case. But, you know, we right now we're fighting against a lot of what I keep saying is critical mass, where that is wrong, you know, and women rightly are concerned that, you know, any nudity would be automatically sexualized. Well, that's because everybody does, you know, or most people. And that's another fight that as nudists we have to fight.
And that's something I want to bring up as well. Obviously, I don't want to get into too much depth with it, because one, I'm not a woman, so obviously I'm not speaking for women. I am just speaking from what I've seen, what I've heard from Elizabeth, what I've heard from some of my, you know, women friends who do this. You know, it's, I love how, like, some of your posts as well, they do fight towards that. Like, I think you just posted something the other day about like complimenting somebody, right? You know, it's, I don't know at least where I, like, what fighting I can do. Cause one, I understand that people who say those sexual comments, stuff like that, I used to get really upset with them. Like, oh, they're stupid. They're this, where, but then now I'm like, okay, I get it. Like they have some kind of internal problem. They have, you know, that just trying to understand what they are rather than trying to attack them. But then there's some people, they can't get over that fact of, you know, just seeing a naked woman and all of a sudden, like, it's just, oh my, it's a naked woman. It's sexual. It's, you know, and I need to stop saying I feel bad for people, because it is a choice. Like there's you, and then also, like, I don't want to say, oh, that's a problem you can fix. You know, it's, that's not really even necessary. Like you're a man, you know, or like, you know, you're human seeing another human being, you know, and yeah. to you, it is sexual, you know what I mean? And this is why it's so hard for me to talk about this. Cause like, I don't want to butcher anything. I don't want to say the wrong thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, I totally agree.
You understand where I'm coming. Okay. For sure.
And I mean, yeah, two guys talking about how women's got it. We're not going to solve this problem.
Exactly.
But what we can do is make progress. And for you and me, there's two things I think that all of us have to do. And I think, again, as nudists, we can be leaders in this. One is when women are telling us how things are, shut the hell up and listen and act on what they say, right? So when I know that when I was younger and maybe a little less enlightened, women would say, well, you know, this is the way things are. And I'd be like, no, that can't be, because I didn't have that lived experience. I've now matured to the point where I realize that my lived experience is not everybody's lived experience. And being a white male doesn't make me any more average, right? It just makes me default, and that's not good enough. So that's the first thing is when women are telling us the state of things, when women say, you know, I don't feel comfortable with that, we have to not tell them why they should feel comfortable, but understand why they and see what we can do to make that better. The other thing is, I think we have to stand up and make our voices heard when it comes to these things. So this doesn't mean when women are naked and some guy sexualizes them that we have to be the ones saying anything. But it does mean when any, you know, these negative stereotypes around women are and women's bodies and this kind of thing, when any comments like that are made, we are the ones who have to say, well, hang on. That's an actual person, you know. Or when, you know, oh, women think this. Well, you know, I think you should listen to some women. You know, that kind of thing. Be that other. There was a famous Californian, Jello Biafra, punk musician from the early 80s. And he used to say, be the media. And I think that's a really strong idea, is that we are supposed to be the voice. We are supposed to be the enlightened ones. I mean, we have already come to the point where we understand the body in a certain way and nudity in a certain way. Like, now it's our chance to move that forward for everyone. And that doesn't mean making everybody go naked. It means everybody hearing the nudist take on the principles that we live by, right? So there's a real opportunity there, and I think that's where it's tough, because the critical mass is against us. Society doesn't think the same way as we do, but we can be the ones to start to see that change, or to make that change heard. And then when somebody says you know, what happens is somebody else makes a comment, everyone kind of turns to the guy who stopped it last time. And then we say, yeah, that's bullshit. And then after that, a couple other people say, yes, that's bullshit. You should hear him say it. You know, we start to turn the tide a little bit. It's not going to be overnight. It's not, but the Me Too movement is only a few years old, a couple years old. We can help with that. We can amplify voices. And that's the other important part of this, is not listening to what I say, not listening to what you say, but you and me amplifying the voices of women. So there's a few women on Twitter whose posts I am always retweeting, because they are saying the things that I think need to be said. All I need is to use the I don't have a big platform, but the platform that I've got, use that to let people hear them. That's a really important act that we can take as well. So there's, I think, a few things we can do, and they're all positive in the sense that it's going to help us with our case about, you know, being naked is not a problem. And, those are the things that I'm trying to work on myself, and I'm sure others, and I'd love to hear from others telling me what else, you know, and I'd be open to hearing that.
Exactly. And something that, like, I think kind of a new approach that I'm trying to take to a lot of these people who, even after paragraph that I write, I've had weak conversations with some men out there. And, you know, like, as much as I explain, well, you know, it's not about, you know, your size. It's not about, you know, the sex parts of this. Just like, I'll be like, you know, like, we play volleyball and we go swimming. We have a party. And then the next question, well, what about the sex part? Well, what about, what if I get hard? What if it's like, I'm like, dude, like, that's not, I don't know why, like, just get past that for a second, you know?
So, like, the thing, the first time you try it, the first time you go to a nudist resort or beach, or whatever, you suddenly are like, oh, okay. Yeah. None of that matters. That's not a problem.
Yeah. Right?
But people never get to that point. Most of them never get, it occurs to them, or they'll be on Facebook or Reddit or whatever and talking about it for years, but they don't actually go and do it. And once you've done it, once you've sort of gotten over that wall and you know, gone to a nudist, a social nudist thing of any kind, you realize, yeah, erections, not a big deal. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. it never happens. If it does, you just kind of don't play. You know, don't let people, you know, center on it, kind of thing. Seeing naked women all the time, no big deal. After you've seen a few hundred or a few dozen or a couple, it's just like, yeah, whatever. You just kind of get out of that mindset. And there was an Irish nudist recently had an article where they said, you come out of it, it changes you. Your mind changes from these experiences. And I think that's absolutely it. That all these things that we're worried about, all these fears that we build up before we ever try it, once you do it, you're changed and there's no going back. And that's why I think a lot of people, once they try naturism in any sense, they're hooked and, you know, they never go back.
No, exactly. And like I've said it before, and like, I'm still confident with the number, 100% of the people I've personally met, I'm not saying 100 people in the world, but 100% of the people I've personally met that's tried it for the first time, always come back.
Yeah.
And again, that's just me. I don't know if that's 50 people or however many, but, and one thing I've been trying to kind of like compose, like this, not argument, but this thing I'm trying to compose right now is that something that I've been experiencing lately is like, it's such an exhilarating, empowering feeling to be able to be around naked women and not have that like stereotypical, well, you know, the whole time I'm just like staring at them, you know, and thinking about like sex stuff. Like I can have a legit conversation with a naked woman. I can have multiple naked women around me. And just have that like clear mind of just like, you know, it's a beautiful day, you know, I'm hanging out with friends and that's all it is. And it's, somebody posted the other day where it was like, you know, it's even sexier than like, whatever women in, it was this, what's their names? Well, I won't say their names, but anyways, but she's like, you know, it's even sexier than just like being in a room full of like naked women with one man is that like letting the women just do their thing, you know, like they can dance and they can drink and they're comfortable and they're not worried about, you know, being sexually harassed or like to, and again, this is just based off of what she said, you know, she didn't have that worry. And she's like, that's like sexy. That's, you know, like awesome to be in that situation, you know? And I think having that mindset of imagine being able to just like be around naked women and you're just you have that clear mind and you're not, you know, worried about that stuff that people think that you should be worried about or that society, you know, makes men out to be.
Yeah. And I don't think it takes very long. I think it's one of the things that social nudity really helps with. It doesn't take very long before you stop, not you, but one stops thinking in that way and stops doing those things like judging how good looking is that person? You know, what are the features that I'm attracted to of that person? You know, what do I notice about that person? And that woman, right, is really what I'm trying to say there. And but it's amazing how quickly it fades into the background. And that's why I think a lot of women, and again, this is secondhand, but a lot of women have said like being in a nudist environment is like the first time I felt like I wasn't being objectified, wasn't being harassed, wasn't being looked at. And it's true because like it's just bodies everywhere. So what difference does it make your body? So, I think there's really something to that. But that's the long game. I really think that naturism has is like, we're making a better world here. It's not just about like making ourselves more comfortable and enjoying ourselves more. It's not just hedonism in any sense of the word. It's about all of us getting better, all of us improving our world. And that's worth working on.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, that's absolutely beautiful. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's it's on its way, and I think it's gonna be okie dokie.
Yeah.
But if you don't mind me asking, I know you mentioned that your significant other, your wife, right?
Yeah.
She's not a nudist. If you don't mind me asking, you know, you don't have to talk about it. But how is that relationship in the nudist part? Like, you know, like how do you guys kind of work with that? Where you are the nudist, she doesn't want anything to do with it. Because I know that is kind of a big problem for a lot of people. Not just. Men being nudist and women not, but sometimes even women being nudist and men aren't, you know? So how does that kind of fit into your guys's,
it's caused difficulties. Sure. You know, she had her family history similar to mine was a little, uptight. we went to the same Catholic high school, for example.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. We weren't high school sweethearts, but we did know each other going back that far. And her parents, you know, the nudity was something that was a real. There were some problematic uses of it in their in her upbringing. So that's why she's sort of just not able to be part of it at all, not even able to consider it at this point. And I came to it fairly late in life. Like, we were already married before I sort of started looking into it. So it was a bit of a, you know, it wasn't part of the deal. But she agrees. It was, you know, she volunteered that, well, this is your house. You be in whatever state you want. So that's been totally fine. Like, I clothed, not clothed around the house is totally up to me. Although more recently, her father moved into our basement. So that's kind of, I've been a little more discreet about it, you know, during daylight hours kind of thing. Keeps to himself, though. It's all fine. It's all fine. I also, like, she understands, you know, I'm going to go out to nature swims and this kind of thing. I go to resorts and stuff. There's like a couple that can go for the day. And that's just something that's in the same way that if I went out to something else, you know, or if she goes out taking photographs, she's a real photographer. She goes out for the day taking photographs, same thing. She's not 100% comfortable with it because she's never tried it. She's never had that experience of like, oh, this is what it is. So a lot of the prejudices that a lot of people bring to it, she also has. But, you know, it's like anything else. It's about, you know, communication. It's about making oneself heard and trying to sort of find that sort of middle ground or that equal ground where we're both getting what we want to whatever extent we can. So, you know, it's more important to me that I'm, you know, with it, my relationship's more important than any outing to a nudist place kind of thing. So she's not comfortable for whatever reason. We talk about it and I can put it aside because of that. But no, it's you know, it works out as well as it can. And it's just, you know, what I have also recognized is that she is more comfortable herself with being, you know, topless around the house kind of thing, which is, no, I'd say fairly rare. But it's certainly not something that I would ever draw attention to kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's helped her to sort of relax a little bit about that kind of thing, which is nice as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, has she ever, I know you said she doesn't want to jump into it or do anything like that. Has she ever at least been to a place to see what it's all about? No. So that she doesn't have those worries, or does she even have worries at all for you?
Oh no, she has those concerns. The same thing that everybody else who's on the outside thinks of. But, we've talked about her coming along. There's, one of the resorts near us, it's only clothing, nudity required in the pools and around the pool deck and that kind of thing. And I was saying, you know, we could hang out there for even just for a couple hours just to see the place, see what it's like. So we haven't quite got to that point yet. It may yet happen, and we'll see what happens if it does. I'm certainly not pushing because I'm not doing it for anybody else, and I don't need anybody else to do it for me. So if it's something that she never really sees as something for her, that's okay. That's not, you know, that doesn't change who I am. And, you know, it doesn't make me less of a naturist to be married to a non-naturist. It just means that it is unlikely we'd go traveling to a naturist destination.
Yeah. But
at this point.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that's something that gets brought up a lot with couples. You know, like a man or a woman, but you know, how do I make my significant other a nudist? Like, you can't make anybody be anything, you know, and exactly how you're doing it. I think that's beautiful. That's pure. It's magical. You know, it seems like you guys have really good communication where, you know, you have that trust. And I think that if you're in a relationship like that, where one is a nudist and the other isn't, and there's still a problem with that, 'cause the other doesn't trust, you know, what's going on. I think that's not a naturist issue. That's not a personal issue from that person who's doing that. So I guess my advice out there for people who have a significant other who doesn't want to even try it, definitely communicate about it. Don't sneak around. Don't you know, anything like that. You should be open for it. And then if being open causes problems, then there's more to it than just the naked part. And like you said, like, at least for me, like, even, I guess that my situation is a little different. I did meet Elizabeth at a nudist resort. So like, we already have that in common, but there's nothing in my life that I would sacrifice, without her. Does that make sense? So, so I don't know. I mean, if nudism is that important to somebody, I mean, I, I don't really know what to tell people. I don't want people going out there breaking up with their girlfriends or wives, you know.
But here's the thing. This is the difficult thing is often people are coming to nudism. They discover it's a thing. They realize it's something that's interesting to them. So they have a dual problem. One is having all these concerns, worries, preconceptions about trying it themselves. And at the same time, they have all these worries about their partner having also the same worries, concerns, preconceptions, and rejecting them, rejecting that part of them, whatever it might be. And it all gets wrapped up together. And I was there too. You know, I went through that as well. And it's, so this is why I feel like, you know, making it easier and more normalized to try it out is so useful to people, because you can take away that whole part of the equation. And if people realize, well, you know, a lot of people do this. This isn't a big thing. This isn't a big deal. It's not, it doesn't make you crazy. It's not because you're a weirdo. It's not because you're a pervert. If we can get past all those things, then it might be easier for somebody to say to their significant other, you know, I want to try this. There's a nude swim group in town this week. I'm thinking of going out and trying it out. And then they can have that conversation, because they don't have to come in with all that baggage. They can at least solve that side of the equation before they have to solve the part of the equation where they're supposed to say, what are you talking about? You going to a sex club? You know, that side of it is maybe a more difficult conversation than it is to actually try it out. So so I think it's really important that we keep building this welcoming, positive gateway to social nudity ourselves, for those of us who are already in it. And not to pivot, but I mean, that was the reason I wrote the book that I wrote was precisely because
actually I was just gonna bring that up right now.
But you know, I had all those questions when I started out as well. One of the biggest ones was, when I arrive at a nudist resort, do I take my clothes off before I go in and register, or do I register first? Like, when do I do that? And it stopped me going for a ridiculously long time, right? Yeah. I would hesitate because you don't know the form, and you feel like one way or the other, you're going to look like a weirdo. You're going to look like an idiot, whether it's because you got too undressed too early or too late or whatever. And those kinds of questions are too big a problem, and they shouldn't be, right? We should just completely straightforward about them. So that's why that was exactly why I wrote that book, was because I wanted to answer all the questions that I had before I first tried it. You know, I want to get somebody past those first steps, and I hope that's the only thing I wanted to do with it. And that's, you know, but I mean, what I'm trying to express is not about the book, but just like, I think this is the commitment we all need to make, is how are we going to make it easier for our brothers and sisters who haven't tried it yet? You know, whether it's family members, whether it's significant others, whether it's total strangers, casual friends, whatever, how can we make them understand the benefits and the joys of it?
Well, hell yeah. Well, there we go. We're going to segue to that then. So, so let's talk about your book then. That's not the main reason I wanted to talk to you, but that is a reason I wanted to talk to you. I have seen your book. A lot of people who ask me questions, they're like, hey, you know, I found this book. Should I read it? Like, does this have anything to do with it? I'm like, no, it's not a good book. Don't read it. Just throw it away. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I'm just kidding. So it's called How to Take Your Clothes Off, right?
Yeah. Okay. And the title was basically the first thing that I came up with, and that was because, like, it is that easy. How to take your clothes off? You know how to do that. So now you can be part of this, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, I called it A Guide to Nudism for the Interested Beginner. And the idea was that if you're already interested, if you're already curious about it, I want to say curious because that kind of uses, you know, gets some baggage with it. But if you're brand new to it, but you're interested, this is the book that I want you to have. You know, this is what I want to tell you. Because if somebody came to me and said, look, I'm wanting to try, if a friend of mine came in and said, I want to try, here's my problems. I answer all their questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of thing. And I put the book together purely on that point of view. And the other thing I've noticed is there's a lot of books out there. I don't know if you've seen Amazon, but there's quite a few books on there. And a good chunk of them are about nudism. And a lot of the ones that I had seen, because I looked at, I read a lot of what's out there, and they say, okay, so nudism. You see, the early Greeks, the ancient Greeks had this to say. And then in 1890s Germany, they did this and thought this way. And 1930s US, it was imported here. And like, that's not helpful to me. I want to know Where do I keep my keys when I go to a nudist resort? Like, that's the question I've got to answer. I want to know, is my penis too big or too small to be shown? You know, that, yeah. Those are the questions that I have. I don't care about the history. And that's what I figured as well. Like, that's all I wanted to know is, like, you know, what are the barriers? What are the things that are going to not make it okay? And the answer is there are none. The answer is you're fine as you are. But, you know, those are the fears. So that's what got the book going, was trying to answer those questions in a way that didn't require a long history lesson. They didn't put any barriers up, that made it very straightforward, that, okay, you want to try it out? Here's some things you can do. Oh, yeah. You don't have a place near you? Here's what you can try. Oh, you don't know what to do? Here's, you know, so that was kind of the attitude I wanted to convey with it.
Hell yeah. Now, when did you first release your book?
I can't remember whether it was May 2017 or 2018. I can't remember which.
Okay.
And I finally put it out in paperback about a year ago.
And you said, and now it's available on Amazon as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And where would be, if somebody wanted to go look for this book, what would be their, at least what would work for you the best for somebody to purchase this book for themselves?
Well, I tell people, just like, my website is WriteNude. WriteNude.com. It's got links there to everywhere it's available, because it's not just Amazon. I got it on Kobo, Barnes and Noble, Apple. You know, it's all over the place. Dude, the print book is only available on Amazon, but everything else, like, it's all over. Everywhere I can think of to put it, I put it. The website is the easiest place. I also update the links. It's also where you can see the stuff that, you know, the blog posts that I've written and the various articles I put out there. And I am working on more. So, you know, as things develop, as I get more manuscripts together, that's where you'll find it. So I'm hoping will check it out there.
Yeah. Well, hell yeah. And then you just announced that you started a Patreon as well, right?
No, that wasn't me. Not yet.
No. maybe, I don't know what I saw then. I don't know.
I might have retweeted. I know Nick and Lynch, Naked somebody. Wandering just started one, so maybe
it's that one.
Let's try retweeting them.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on? I don't know how much time you have. I also don't know. You're in the same time zone as me, right?
No. I'm 3 hours. 3 hours later than you.
Oh shit. Okay. Sorry. Well, we'll wrap this up real soon. I promise you. I don't want to keep you up too late. But what are your views on these OnlyFans and Patreons and stuff like that? I know I've read a couple of your comments on Twitter and stuff like that. So how do you feel about nudist kind of?
It's tough, right? It's tough. A friend of mine, her name's Cleo McKeever. She's Topless Topics. She's been trying to normalize female toplessness since, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. And I've been kind of following her on YouTube and whatnot. And we've gotten to, you know, chat a little more in the last couple of years. And she has an OnlyFans as well as a Patreon. And the reason she has an OnlyFans is if she goes anywhere else, even Patreon, she's waiting for the day when her account is just closed. Mm-hmm. Like, non-sexual nudity is not regarded as any different from sexual nudity when it comes to all these platforms. And continually people are banned, nudists, you know, who are 100% legitimate nudists, who have nothing sexual whatsoever, often don't even show any nudity. Naked Wanderings is one of those. They were on Instagram. They were just tossed off because probably the algorithm got too many complaints and they said, well, they must be a porn, and they tossed them off. So we end up being ghettoized. And so we're sitting there, if you know, people who are trying to raise money end up on OnlyFans, a lot of the time, end up on streaming platforms where there's a lot of, you know, less pure nudism, on display. That there's just no way around it. And I don't begrudge anybody their way of making a living. I, you know, salute them. I do, wherever I can, I support everybody I come across who's a true, legitimate, principled naturist who has an OnlyFans or Patreon or whatever, just because, like, we got to keep these people putting stuff out there. I want to help, you know, raise the voice, kind of thing. So it's unfortunate that we end up being in the same place as, you know, every porn star and everything. And again, don't begrudge them anything. It's just, it's not legitimate that we're sort of put in the same place as them, but what can we do at this point? All we can do is use every channel we can to continue this discussion, you know, as far as within our community and without our community, you know, outside of our community to the regular closed world. So
yeah,
it's unfortunate, but it's the world we live in. And
it is what it is. Yeah.
The other thing is, like, there's no idea anymore that you can have a blog that people will come to. You know, that doesn't happen anymore. No, you put your article somewhere and then you tweet about them. You put them on Facebook, you put them on whatever, right? Or whatever social media you kids use these days. I don't know. I can't control all you guys. But, you know, so we're forced to be in the context or in the sort of playing field that's set out for us by big corporations that make their money on advertising, right? So that means we're ending up with, you know, we're on their land, and we can only do so much. Yep. So, you know, I try to do the kind of thing where on my site I can say and do what I want, but I have to draw you in from Twitter or wherever, and that's not an easy path. So
yeah,
that's why people end up on OnlyFans and that kind of thing,
where stuff like that is, you know, whatever is considered, you know, nude or whatever is allowed. Yeah. And that's why I think I hate it as far as like our website. We built our own website because we were afraid if we went to another place where even if we paid money to have our own, you know, hosting site, we can still get shut down. So that's why we bought a hosting platform, and then we built our own site. So it's 100% ours, you know? Mm-hmm. And like you said, even though that's like, we built it and stuff, the hosting site that we have, it's still their land. It's still, you know, they're still in charge of that. So if they really wanted to, you know, it could work that way. So
yeah,
it's unfortunate. But you know what? I love to see humans adapt and overcome. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're as nudists, you know, we're adapting with everything. We understand algorithms now with Instagram. So people try their best to go around it. You know, you can't really get too upset with it. Like actually, I'm going to start using that so much more. It's their land. They can, you know, do what they want. So, but I don't know. I think I'm going to see some positive shit pretty soon. I mean, we're going to see some more of it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, you know, in the nudist, and again, that's what I'm strictly talking about as far as things going positive right now. I think nudism is making a very, very positive march forward right now. And it's because of people like you, and I appreciate, you know, what you retweet and getting your voice out there. And I really hope to keep seeing more and more from you. So.
Well, likewise. I mean, I've been a fan of you guys from very early on. And, you know, I love that you guys put out so many, you know, you have so many episodes out there. You talk to such a good range of people. And, you know, sometimes it's focused like we've had today, sometimes a little more casual.
Yeah, that's when I drink. It's it's no drink November right now, so everything's pretty.
Well, one of these years I'll get out to California again, and then we'll kick back and have a beer or two. But
Till
then, it's always good to hear you guys and to hear you and you know, our naked story. I think when you started, I wasn't sure what was going on. I forget what made me sort of, I don't know if these guys are legit. And once I started listening and that's why you're on my list of, if people don't know, the Anner Bulletin actually did come out.
It did. Yes. Yes. Thank you very much.
I had a shout out to you guys.
I appreciate that.
You know, it's important. And Nature's podcasts are really important, as you guys are an important part of that fabric. So
I appreciate that. Yeah. I guess I got pretty lucky because when we first started this, I didn't know what was going on either. I was kind of just like, hey, we got some microphones. We're nudists. Let's talk. I didn't know how I wanted to, you know, because I want to be like that younger guy and then, you know, just talk about random shit and, you know, drink and whatever. But I think we're slowly getting everything straight now and we know what we're doing. So for the new listeners, just don't even worry about listening to podcasts one or two. Pretty much podcasts one through like five. Don't worry about those. Those are not. but it's cool. You know, it's even cool to look back and see how much we've grown ourselves and having conversations like this with other people. And luckily, you know, there are, having these conversations and being open-minded to, you know, changing your views and taking that step back. I think a lot of people do need to do that. Not saying that I'm, you know, I'm like some hero guy or whatever. That's what you should do as a human. You should take a step back. You should understand other people. You should at least try to understand other people is what I'm trying to say. So, well, Matthew, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Let's just end this with just tell people maybe again where you can find your book at, and then also where you can find you on Twitter or any other social media websites?
Yeah, I'm mainly on Twitter. My handle there is Canudian1, Canadian nudist. Yeah. But it's easier maybe to find me at writenude.com, R-I-T-I-E. Wait, W-R-I-T-E. I'm a writer, you know, I spell words. W-R-I-T-E, nude.com. Of course, I'm happy to hear from people if they have questions, concerns about the book, about nudism. Always open to that conversation. Yeah, and looking forward to hearing more Our Naked Story as well.
Well, sweet, man. Well, thank you very much. We'll definitely be putting all of your information inside of our comment sections on all of our Instagram and everything like that. So,
fantastic.
Well, I look forward to reading the rest of your articles or more of your articles, and maybe we'll do this again soon when you come to California.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Man. Take care. Talk to you later. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.